Welcome to a special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the weekly update where we examine the latest headlines from all across the world to keep you informed about issues that affect your faith. Stay aware, stay informed. It's the special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this very special broadcast. Since it is Friday, July the 12th of the year of our Lord 2024. Join me today, my dear friend, Brother Paul Sutcliffe. Hello, Brother Paul.
Hello, beautiful weather today, nice and rainy.
Absolutely. With us also, Sister Christy Johnson. Hello, dear sister.
I'm doing great, Usama. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I am doing great. All right, Brother Paul, we have a lot of information I'd like to talk about today. And let's start with what the Muslims have done here at USA.
Well, Matthew Schultz with the Jewish News Service wrote an article this week to remind us that there are still five Americans held captive by Hamas. Hersh Goldberg-Pollan was kidnapped by Hamas from the Nova Music Festival. Before he was taken, his dominant arm was blown off at the elbow by a grenade. Hersh was born in the United States and immigrated to Israel with his family when he was 7. Omar Nutra, 22, grew up on Long Island, the son of Israeli parents. He immigrated to Israel under the law of return and enlisting in the Israeli Defense Forces. He was serving as a tank commander near the Gaza border when he was taken hostage. Adnan Alexander, 19, was born in Tel Aviv, but grew up in Tenafly, New Jersey, part of the Golani Brigade's 51st Battalion. He was stationed near the Gaza Strip when he was kidnapped on October 7th. Adnan often appears too young to be a soldier, but then you remember that soldiers are young. Keith Siegel, who is 65, made Aliyah from North Carolina 20 years ago. He loves Israel and the kibbutznik life. Alongside his wife, Aviva, he was kidnapped from their home, Kibbutz Kfar, on October 7th, while his wife was released in the first hostage deal. Keith remains in captivity. Sagui Dekel Chen, 35, was kidnapped from Kibbutz near Oz. His third daughter was born while he was in captivity. Her name is Shachar, which means dawn in Hebrew. For the past 9 months, 280 days, Americans have experienced the censorship of the media as it continually hides this information from the American people in order to help promote their anti-Israel point of view.
Sister Christy, will you repeat what Brother Paul just said to us so our audience can understand why we hide this information from the American public the last 9 months?
Americans have experienced the censorship of the media as it continually hides this information from the American people in order to help promote anti-Israel points of view.
Here's my question to both of you. Would you please answer? The media in America just found out since the debate that there is a problem with Mr. O'Biden. But have they ever found out that there is a problem with themselves?
Well, they live in denial.
How about you, Christy?
Usama, that is an amazing question and something all Americans should be asking. This was an attack against our most faithful ally in the Middle East. And this involved American citizens. The media hides this because literally they think they're running the government. They hide Biden's problems. They hide what's going on truly with Americans and what's going on with Israel.
And here's my question to you, Paul. If the liberals got rid of O'Biden, will we have a different result in the next 4 years?
No, because their goal is socialism and Islam.
Exactly. Well, let's move on, Brother Paul, to the next story.
Memory caught an imam at Lafayette, Louisiana, stating in a June 21st sermon in his supplication, "O Allah, annihilate the Jews and the Christians. O Allah, annihilate the Jews and their helpers. Kill them one by one and do not spare a single one of them." The sermon was streamed live on the Facebook page of the Islamic Center of Lafayette, which they didn't tell who the identity of the imam was.
Well, it's very simple, Brother Paul. The American people are so ignorant about Islam, and now they're talking about the simplest thing which I've been talking about for over 30 years. Supplication comes in the end of the prayer. That is when the imam will stand in front of his people and he will ask Allah specific requests. This is like the Christian prayers. And all the people of the mosque in unity will shout, "Amen." This is how it has always been done. So the imam will say, "May the curse of Allah be on the Jew." And all the people say, Amen. May the curse of Allah be on the Christian. And all the people say, amen. In unity. And that is, may Allah destroy their land. Amen. May Allah burn their field. Amen. May Allah make their wives widows. Amen. May Allah make their children orphans. Amen. This is the norm supplication which every mosque in planet Earth, including the mosques of America, do in the end of their prayer. This is a perfect time for the true nature of Islam to show for the whole world. But the problem is, they always do these supplications in the Arabic language, and most American people do not know what they're saying. If the American people can just simply read the Quran, which Muslims use in their prayer every day, five times a day, they would have discovered how savage Islam is, because that is the religion which teaches its people to hate the Jews and the Christians and to kill the Jews and the Christians, who just happen to be most of us here who live in America. That's why I believe they're here. They're not here because they will enjoy freedom of religion, but they're here to force their Islam, their savage cult, against everyone who live in the United States. And if the American people can know that, we will know for certain that Islam as a religion is illegal to be practiced in America. Am I right about that, Brother Paul?
Yes.
How about you, Sister Christy?
Yes, and I have to say, this is terrifying when you think about it, if you know the truth.
And I know the Constitution said freedom of religion, but that Islam have nothing to do with freedom of religion. And I give you the last example here. What happened if that Muslim imam, son or daughter, left Islam and became a Christian? What he is commanded by Allah to do to his own children?
To execute them.
So here we go. The religion of Islam cannot be practiced in America because it is a savage cult which have no place, not in our Constitution, nor in our way of life in America.
Usama, it's important to remember too that Muslims practice honored killing for the very reasons we talked about.
Exactly. And I believe 100% the same book of Sharia, Brother Paul, which teaches the Muslims to kill their own children if they leave Islam, it also teaches them to kill other children for not accepting Islam. Am I right with that?
Yes.
All right, we rest our case and let's move on, Brother Paul, to the next story, which also come to us here from United States of America.
CNN reports that Hadi Mattar, the man accused of stabbing author Salman Rushdie, leaving him blind in one eye, rejected a plea deal Tuesday that would have tied in a federal terrorism-related charge but reduced his state prison sentence. Mattar stabbed Rushdie on stage multiple times as he prepared to give a lecture at Chautauqua Institution in Western New York on August 12th of 2022. Hadi Mattar pled not guilty to state charges of second-degree attempted murder and second-degree assault. Under the proposed plea deal, Mattar would have received a 20-year sentence to a 25-year sentence with the understanding he would have a federal charge added. This would have given him a total prison time of 30 to 40 years. But not agreeing to this, now they all have to go to trial.
Once again, I'm amazed about the media in America. They did not talk about the stabbing of Salman Rushdie. And now we see that the criminal who stabbed him, and he was obviously hoping to kill him, refused the 30 to 40 years plea deal. Which means we're going to go to trial, Brother Paul?
That's the only option.
And what do you think is going to happen in the trial, Christy?
Well, we have possibility he could be found not guilty, but we also have the possibility that he could get life in prison. But the truth is, we never know what's coming in our courts these days. Maybe he's hoping he's going to get a nice Muslim judge.
There's another option here. It's a setup for another stabbing on Salman Rushdie.
We're so soft on crime. Does this have anything to do with praying in a mosque? And here's that Muslim criminal was incited by some Muslim imam to do their jihad against Salman Rushdie.
That's actually what happened. There was a fatwa to kill him, so he followed through on the incitement.
So he was actually practicing Sharia, Islamic law, in America.
Yes.
Mashallah, mashallah.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe,
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Let's move on, Brother Paul, to the next story.
Last week, we reported on Ilhan Omar's illegal campaign activity with former Prime Minister of Somalia, claiming Ilhan was only for Somalia and its people. This week, Ilhan is now facing possible campaign finance charges and an ethics complaint by the American Accountability Foundation, known as AAF. AAF alleged that the Congresswoman knowingly accepted former Somalia Prime Minister Hassan Ali Khayri's services at her campaign events. They asserted this action exceeded the limited volunteer services permitted by a foreign national and involves impermissible decision-making. Second, the watchdog claimed that Khayri was possibly compensated by a prohibited source. The organization suggested that Kajug, a Minneapolis-based nonprofit that focuses on empowering Somalian American youth, organized and funded Khayri's trip to America. AAF argues that Omar likely knowingly accepted a corporate contribution associated with Mr. Khayri's travel and lodging costs, with the goal of boosting voter turnout among Minnesota's Somalian American community.
Well, here we go, Christy. Nonprofit organizations all over America who have ties to Muslims and the agenda of Islam in America. What would you say about that case?
I would say this is amazing because we actually saw that speech and translated into English, so we knew what was being said. And now we know that a nonprofit more than likely paid for this trip for this man to come and possibly also compensated Ilhan Omar's campaign to help pay for his room and board and meals. And this is illegal. This is a foreigner coming to campaign for an American. We thought this was really strange last week.
It's in European, it is a foreigner. In Islam ideology, he's a Muslim man who's helping a Muslim woman to take over an infidel land. This is not illegal to Muslims. They are all one family, one ummah, one nation, for the hope and the purpose of taking over the world. All right, Brother Paul, let's move on to our next story, which comes to us from our neighboring country, Canada.
It has just been revealed that in May, KFC in Canada put out a press release declaring Canadian KFC entirely Sharia compliant. They no longer will serve pork in order to please Muslims. Their statement reads, "This initiative is a testament to our commitment to provide inclusive menu options for all our customers."
Wait a minute. If I am a customer in that Kentucky Fried Chicken in Canada, and I love to eat some sausage and bacon, do I have any chance to get my good sandwich with bacon and sausage in it?
Well, you're not Muslim, so you're not considered part of the all.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize. Next.
They say they discontinued pork products at all KFC locations, excluding establishments co-branded with Taco Bell. Another statement here says they collaborated with KFC Canada Muslim team members on the halal rollout.
You know what, Christine? I talked about that years ago, and I repeat myself again today. You give a Muslim an inch, they will go for a mile. They start with halal food in Kentucky Fried Chicken in Canada, and they're going to end beheading the unbeliever in Canada, because that is a reality. First, you eat what I ask you to eat. Then you have to believe in what I believe. If not, I have to follow the teaching of the Quran, which means I have to get rid of you.
Usama, I remember you did a whole video talking about this and trying to educate people about what it means to get halal food.
Brother Paul, let's move on to our next story, which comes to us from the United Kingdom.
The Jerusalem Post shared that on Election Day in the UK, many new members of parliament are all lovers of Hamas. Here are a few examples. Shaka Adam, an optometrist by trade, is serving for Leicester South. His brother is documented as being friendly with Hamas leaders. In Birmingham, newly elected Ayub Khan has posted several clips on TikTok questioning Israeli reports of Hamas's beheadings of babies and rapes, saying he had yet to see the evidence. In Blackburn, Adnan Hussein was elected. He said, "We will raise our voice for Gaza. We will continue to fight until death, inshallah."
Inshallah, if Allah will, that's what he said. So now we have the new leaders of the parliament in England are Muslim. And not just Muslim, they're Muslim jihadi. This is the reality of what I am trying to warn the American people, Christy. Wake up, America. Stop voting for Muslims. Even if these Muslims run as a Republican, because that will bring the leadership of Muslim Brotherhood to be in control of our government. We cannot do that, because that's exactly why Muslims are here. They're not here because they love our democracy or our freedom. They're here to take over our country. And sadly, because the American people are so ignorant of Islam and what the Muslims hoping to accomplish in America, they continue to vote for them. I remember a few years ago, it was Keith Ellison, just one Muslim man. In our last election, we have over 120 Muslim believers. I guess next election will be over 200, and their number will continue to grow. What do you say about that, Christy?
Yes, Usama, a few years back, we were listing the names of those who were running for various offices in this country. We can't even get a list now. We would never have time to get through it to explain to people how many Muslims are running for office. And once this starts, they don't back off and they don't leave their office. You told me before, you can't get them out once they're in. And I believe that's true.
Brother Paul, let's move on to our next story, which comes to us from Germany.
Remix reports that Germany now has at least 40 to 50 knife crimes a day, and that's considered a normal occurrence. Almost 100% of the knife wielders are illegal immigrants. Four of these crimes involved just one man, who stabbed two police officers within 18 hours after being released. A second time, the Nigerian Muslim man grabbed a 9-year-old boy, taking him hostage. Police released him again after this. He tried skipping to pay a train fare when he was caught and stabbed at least three other police numerous times.
Christy, how many times the German police will arrest the same man and release him to do the same crime again? Are the German police that stupid?
I think it's the courts that are releasing them. And this is a problem we could start having in America if we're going to allow criminals to be released. We even have that law that they passed, I think, in New York, where it's like, you don't have to pay any bail. You just get out.
Oh, Brother Paul, should we make knife illegal in America? Because that is, I believe, the weapon used by Muhammad 1,400 years ago, and it's used by his followers today. I know the liberals would like to make every gun illegal. What about the knife?
We can't, because they're tools.
Usama, this has been seen in the past and in other countries. When they outlaw guns, people are killed by knives. But I'm telling you, you better hold on to your guns.
All right. Good advice, Sister Christy. Move on, Brother Paul, to our next story, which comes to us from the country of Norway.
Samnet reports that in Norway this week, Zanair Matapur was convicted of killing two people and shooting and injuring 21 others in two bars on June 25th, 2022. He'll serve 30 years and be 75 years old before he can leave prison. This attack on gay bars back then put such fear in the community that they canceled their Pride Day parade in 2022. After the terrorist attack, the parade was canceled. Zanair was born in a Kurdish part of Iran and came as a refugee to Norway with his family when he was 12. And he just committed an act of jihad, is how I look at it.
Well, Christy, Muslim kill gay and lesbian? What is wrong with these radical Muslims?
No, Usama, they are not radicals. They are Muslim believers and they are practicing Islam.
What gay and lesbian could learn from that story, Brother Paul?
Do not trust your Muslim neighbor.
Oh, I got you. All right, we have one more story come to us from the country of Kuwait.
Media Line published an article on June 27th that should set Muslims thinking. The article states the leaking of final exams in Islamic religion for high school students, those poised to enter university, has unveiled several peculiar issues. What justifies teaching religion for 12 full years? Isn't religion, as often described, the faith of nature? Isn't it inherently part of Muslims' life from birth, imbibed almost with maternal care? There's clearly a flaw of mystery that education authorities believe necessitates such an extended period of study for this subject. How do we reconcile this belief with the reality that after 12 years of religious education, students resort to cheating? Moreover, parents are willing to spend money to obtain exam questions for a subject that is supposed to instill honesty, morals, and adherence to the right path, or so educators assert. The recurring phenomenon of cheating, especially in this particular subject, demands scrutiny. Perhaps it's time to halt its teaching after middle school. If a student has not grasped the concepts by then, chances are they never will. A stark issue crying out for innovative thinking.
The author of this article is talking about religion instilling honesty, morals, and adherence to what is right. But he's not talking about Islam, because in Islam, there is no honesty. In Islam, there is no moralities. In Islam, there is everything which is the opposite of what people think of what religion should instill in its believers' life. Cheating is okay in Islam. Lying is okay in Islam. And I believe this is not the problem of Kuwait, as we're talking about today. That's a problem of the Muslim world in planet Earth, because they all lie and cheat. This is Islam. Even if you cheat in the religious exam, this is the reality of what Muslims do. In Islam, Muslims are living in sin, and only Christ and Christ alone can fix the problem we have with sin. And that will bring us to the end of our broadcast for this Friday. Brother Paul, Sister Christy, thank you so much for being part of this ministry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Yusama.
And to our dear, wonderful audience, until we meet again in another broadcast, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.